thing. What can you do to make sure that you make more of a contribution to taking Barbados forward? All those areas of weakness, because, you know, I said it before the elections, I continue to say, there are some weaknesses in the way that we have done our thing. The lack of efficiency, the degree to which we have not strived to be a bit more creative in trying to find solutions to problems, the way that we lick up government property, the attitude towards getting something from government and not paying for it and that sort of thing. These are the kinds of things that, the kinds of attitudes and factors that remain relevant to moving Barbados forward today. I sincerely hope that by making the kind of change that we have made, that it will inspire more people in the country to make that kind of contribution. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Dave Ellis. A couple of things here. The first thing, a lot of records that be broken. First female prime minister. The first time we have had a party who did not regain a seat. And the third one was the lowest voters turnout we had in the history of Barbados. I was telling Peter Wickham, even if you take up the people that were turned back or people that, when they got there, they said the line was too long.
And but you know how many of them were turned back?
But I'm trying to
draw. You don't know?
We don't know.
How many people were frustrated at the polls?
Right, but listen, I mean, there are two nominations in Barbados, religious nomination, do not vote. They do not vote. I just assume that the ones that were turned back was about 10,000 of them.
But that's an assumption. Let's await the investigation, which is going to be done into the Electoral and Boundaries Commission.
Right, but the point is, when you have a situation of 122,000 people who did not cast a vote, that would tell that the people are not interested in neither the Barbados their party nor the Democratic Party.
Well, first of all, you have to take into consideration the frustration caused when people had to stay in lines very long. When they finally got there, they discovered that their names were not on the register. Uh-huh. They went somewhere else and had to be butting about the place. A guy told me he went through that experience. He
said, Mr. Ellis,
and suggested to me that he was more likely to support the Democratic Labour Party than the BLP.
Okay.
And yet he said he had to abandon it because of that.
But those people, those amount of people that have it, that still will come to 100,000.
I mean, I don't expect it will come to 100,000.
Oh, good. So, you're going to come for the other people who did not turn up at all?
Well, I just want to get a better sense of how many people felt that they were disenfranchised.
Right, the other thing, Mr. Ellis, you had the copy of the mini manifesto in Barbados, and then later I always say you, with this, you have to get things to work. In the United States, that would never happen. They would be pulling this mini manifesto to parts. There would be some for and some against it. I remember when Donald Trump first getting, he decided that he's going to take taxes off for the people who invest in the America, which should be rich people. And they started to pull it apart. And you know what he called it? He told him to do your mass. Have you done the mass with this manifesto of the Barbados Labour Party, Mr. Ellis?
No, I haven't.
But you should do your mass. And let the Barbados Labour Party supporters who call it here do the mass first and tell us if it's
so why you don't do the mass too?
You're
not a Bajan.
Yeah, I already dismissed it as total nonsense.
Well,
okay?
we know that you had taken that position ever since during the election campaign, and I think you were supporting one of the other political parties or something like that, UPP.
Yes, that's right. And I'll tell you something before you go.
Talk about the performance of the UPP?
Ah, UPP is a new party. The first time they ran a general election, they will have gained the experience. They have young, bright people that are already, and they told the ladies, but come again and start in the next 2 years.
Don't Why me? You don't run for the party?
Pardon me?
Why you don't run?
For the UPP?
Yeah.
You can't run for everybody. I told the
who you run? Who else are running for then?
I have an organization in the Five Star League.
The Five Star League?
That's right.
Yeah?
We are running.
How come you didn't? You didn't run any candidates this time?
No, no. We talked. It would make sense because this is we could see that the the people, mostly people that we spoke to were going over with voting for the Baptist Day Party. So we decided not to run. But anyhow, next
you're the leader of this five-star league?
No, the leader is a gentleman by the name of Colin Wilberforce Canterbury.
And what role do you play?
I'm just a member. Remember that.
How old is this party now?
This party is going on to 2 years old. 2 years old. I wanted to say that I'm planning to let Mr. Canterbury later don't come in the studio. I have a conversation with you.
You plan it? By God, agree to that first. Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
There was a break in communication while I was saying a gold crown of merit for you in the field of journalism would be an honor well deserved. Mr. Ellis, this year is 22 years that I am on record as being the first person to come out publicly saying that Ms. Motley is going to become the first woman Prime Minister of Barbados. I recall she asked me, Mr. Weeks, what are you trying to do with me? But deep down inside of me, I made a personal reflection of a woman Prime Minister of Israel, Ms. Muir, then India, Pakistan, Ceylon, and Dominica. I recall when she was first defeated by the late Leroy Buffett. Then on her youthful second time around, she defeated Mr. Leroy McLean. However, there is a biblical reading, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Ms. Motley is indeed a very strong young lady who had to endure a multiplicity of critics left, right, and center. I recalled an incident which I told her to stand clear of. And she did listen. This ambitious, brilliant, articulate, compassionate, and political genius is very humble, grateful, and accommodating. And the writing was on the wall for the Democratic Labour Party when one of the defeated candidates told her what to do if she wanted attention.
Okay, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
A blessed good morning to you, my good friend David. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I am ecstatic, and you would know that.
I can understand.
This is your good friend, Mr. Harvey Culture. I saw you in Kingsland at the launch of the manifesto, but I didn't give you a shout. I just let you roam through the crowd and look around or whatever you wanted to do under a good Barbados Labour Party crowd. You were comfortable and happy. Now, I want to say I am so happy that the outcome. Because when you think that you can unfair people, God has the last say. And the power is within the poor people's hand, and they have spoken. Now, I want to say congratulations to the Honourable Prime Minister, which is the first female Prime Minister of Barbados. I got the opportunity to do it personally at Robert Street on the wee hours of Friday morning. And I want to do it now on national radio because you know that I have been batting for this party for as long as you can remember. And I also want to give kudos to Mrs. Amor Motley and Mr. Elliot Motley for raising such a fabulous young lady. And I've always had discussion with her mother over a period of time, and she's always told me the bright, articulate young girl that she was, always studying, always coming up with top grades, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Also told me that the former Prime Minister, not going to call anybody names, that she worked under, would always say to her, how this lady gets so bright? And I would like 8 or 9 more within my cabinet. So we have a good Prime Minister. We have a humane woman as Prime Minister. We have a people's person as Prime Minister. And I guarantee you that she will work because she loves people, she puts country first, and she loves poor people, and she wants to see them happy. So I'm glad that the Barbados Labour Party have gotten back the opportunity to run this country, and we are going to settle down, we are going to work hard, and we are going to bring back this country where it should be. Because, David, a lot of people have been laughing at us over a period of time. Your mind has been out in the field a long time, and you know where Barbados was. And Barbados has gone low, low, low in the rankings as opposed to the other Caribbean islands that was way below us. So I hope that God will give all of the cabinet members strength.
All right.
And what it takes for them to get through.
You had a good long run in this regard, and I have every intention of encouraging positive comments as it relates to the victory of the Barbados Labour Party. But I'm also reminded of the fact that in politics, you can be a hero today and you can be zero tomorrow. There was a time when the Democratic Labour Party went through exactly this kind of experience. Today, people are so critical of how they ran the country. So I take the positives because I know the day will come when the Barbados Labour Party will itself go through that kind of negative experience. One of the things, though, that has been obscured to a large extent by the size of this victory is that nasty practice of apparent vote buying that raised its head yet again in this election campaign. And the question is, what can Barbados really do to stamp this out? There are some people who believe that the politicians are fair game on election day. And what they set out to do is to tell politicians that in exchange for money, they can get people to come out and vote for them and that sort of thing. We also have reports of some practices in some of these constituencies. Indeed, it has grown considerably across the board. There was one constituency where you thought that, it really started to mushroom there. But with each succeeding election, we have seen it spread further and further across this country. And it is disturbing to see how Barbadians can line a street, especially in the afternoon of a general election campaign, or general election rather, and wait there, apparently, for people to come and put money in their hands as an inducement to vote. I mean, and I feel that they really are seeking to take advantage of the political class in this country. There needs to be a lot more focus on that. And the real question is, if we do nothing about it, where do you believe it will take us as a country some election day? I'm really concerned about it, and because it's growing. And I also want to say this. I've observed that there are some people in Barbados who seem to believe that the secret to success in an election is hand-to-hand combat, as I call it, with money on election day. Now, I suppose people can only come to that conclusion based upon the experience that they have had. But I've always felt, I've been around elections for quite a while, and I know that there's an attitude that people have had that they will take your money, but there's no guarantee that you can influence their vote. And people over the years have paid a high price, figuratively and literally, only to discover that they paid and didn't get what they were looking for. So I think it's been obscured to some extent, but talking with a young lady on a few nights ago, she told me she was in a constituency, and what she saw with her own two eyes, wow. She said it was shocking. It was shocking. So this is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing, sir?
Well, everybody was asking for you.
Yeah,
they wondered if you'd gone into hiding.
No, I don't have to hide. I have already told you, Mr. Ellis. I heard you last Friday morning calling out people of such stuff, which you shouldn't do, really, because...
Why not?
Because Mr. Ellis is not for you to determine who supports who. Because somebody comes in the program and criticize the government, that doesn't mean that...
It wasn't me, you know. I told you on Friday that there were people writing in here who were calling for people like you to come on the air.
Well, I don't mind calling people like me, but I've always made it quite clear. I'm not a member of any political party.
Would have never said that.
Or supporter of any party. But you see, Mr. Ellis, when you make those statements, people outside then take what you're saying or what the station says, and they start targeting people. I heard a lot of people being targeted.
Targeted?
Being targeted.
Targeted?
Family members being targeted. Yeah, well, yeah, man, he's a D, man. Don't do so-and-so. You can't get...
No, Arthur, you are... classified based upon the contributions that you have made over the years. People have not come to the conclusion that they have just out of thin air.
But Mr. Ellis, I have said...
And you have not been... You have not... To me, you haven't been apologetic for positions that you've taken in the past. So were you worried about...
If you check my contribution, you see I deal with issues and ideas. I don't deal with people.
Yes, but at the end of the day, so you have dealt with them in such a manner that people have come to a conclusion that in a circumstance where the Barbados Labour Party has had a 30-nil sweep, they want to hear from you.
But Mr. Ellis, what do you have to do with M only one person? I have seen 20...
More influential than you thought.
I have seen 24-3, 26-2. And Barbados is still here.
You said 30 what? Love. 30
what
love.
Said, huh?
In circumstances where they've had 30 love, they want to hear from you.
What I'm saying is that politicians don't seem to learn from others' experience and to commit the same. All they can wish is that this new government focuses on making Barbados a better place than they found it. That's all they can hope. But I know, based on my years of experience, that politicians are always going to do the same thing. They're going to get, as soon as they get comfortable, they're going to get arrogant. They don't listen to people. Nobody has come on these programs with more ideas than I have. And every idea I bring is one that I feel will make my business. But when you talk to politicians or to public, it's just laugh at you. You know, unless you got two PhDs for a cable, nobody will listen to you. You know how many ideas they brought here? Huh? You could test if I've been saying for years that running water out in the ocean was the wrong thing to do. We need that water to recycle. You know, I've said that. I said on the B's, on the D's. I said we're having too many road fatalities and serious accidents because those speed limits are too high for the type of roads. And I said it on the B's, on the D's. Nobody pays attention. My purpose is to bring ideas.
So the government did change the Road Traffic Act because of you then?
But what Road Traffic Act? You were telling us the same thing.
You didn't see changes related to the Road Traffic Act aimed at reducing distractions and that sort of thing with cell phones?
But that the seatbelt law and all those things. Yes, but the main thing, I'll never forget, was 15 years ago, I heard a senior police officer attached to the police traffic division said, the most serious accidents and the most fatal accidents are caused by speeding. And he said all roads are not constructed for 80 kilometers because when people come off the 80 kilometer road to go and to drive anywhere at 90 and 100, and we need, as a tourism destination, to lower that speed limit back to 60, which it was originally, and we need to post speed limit signs on all the world roads because we attract a lot of people to this country from all over the world. And they're driving, they don't see the speed limit signs for the drivers alike. And many of them sometimes put their lives in danger. But what do you want to say, Mr. Ellis? Last Monday morning, before the election, I said to a friend of mine, I said, look, Thursday is election day. We up in this area of Christchurch have been having to put up with the nauseating scent of rotten seaweed at Long Beach and Silver Sands. And they have political representatives in these areas. Bath is the same thing. Other areas that have it. You will tell me that you have a political representative in an area and he doesn't know, or nobody tells him that there's an area of concern that he has to deal with,
and then get a bobcat, you can get a bobcat anywhere. And once you go at low tide, you can push that moss beyond the high water mark, and so that you really don't get a chance to play with it and bring it up and smelly and slimy and so on. And I said to him, look, if by election day this situation still continues, those elected representatives are going to be punished. I told him so. I never realized the extent where it will happen. But I am saying this to the benefit of the new politicians too. I'm going to wait to see how long this situation is going to continue at Long Beach and Silversands, and where people are coming into Barbados to go and see and can't get me see. I saw some couples the other trying to go and see it. Don't bother going there because for the moss, you're liable to get caught up and get drunk. But they were here to go and see. I'm going to wait to see how long these present crop of politicians now are going to respond to the needs of the community, because that's what it's all about. Now, Mr. Addis?
Yes, sir.
Last Thursday, between 6 o'clock in the evening and 12 midnight, I was so flabbergasted at what was going on. Nobody seen all kind of confusion with boxes and all kind of thing.
Yes.
The next thing you know, when people should be stuffing boxes, people in court. I have never seen this in my lifetime, Mr. Ellis. I have never seen it. People in court for what? We have rules and regulations that are supposed to be, we have timelines that are supposed to be followed. You don't break those things just for convenience, just want to people. You either follow the rules or you are judged by the rules. And I was very disappointed at what took place last Thursday night. And to this day, even the results have got me flabbergasted. Because it seems to me that somewhere along the line, somebody fouled up. And I would hate to think that the executive officer who's responsible and her staff would in any way inconvenience the bet. And it turned people off. You know, it turned people off and made people question the results. How come the results are so far apart? Your customer fell in by 400 or 500 or 600.
So you know, introducing this doubt as to how they could have been so far apart, and you're tracing this now to where the Electoral and Boundaries Commission. You don't trace this to the fact that people didn't turn out, it may well be that it is as bad as it is because people were frustrated about the process.
Frustration, yes, but that's another thing, Ms. Ellis. I have never ever had a situation in Barbados where people going to vote were so frustrated.
Yeah, but we really expressed concern about that, and we hope that this is one of the matters that will be addressed urgently, because it was embarrassing for us as a country. It really was.
It was. And I am saying that I hope there is an inquiry, and that whoever, as a matter of fact, let me say this now, a lot of the ministers in the last government, I believe, lost the seat because of arrogance, because I find that sometimes when you feedback information to ministers and public officials, they just smile at you and ignore you. You know, and things that concern the public may have life easier for people and so on. And I'm not saying, I wish that when the ministers are going home, that some permanent secretaries will be going with them, because they are at the heart of the problem. And they and some department heads, they don't seem to realize that when you're playing politics, you're playing the lives of people. And by just have been made to suffer in the bus stand, that have been made to suffer in the waiting for garbage. We have had a situation up here in the weekend where you understand some garbage have been left by the wayside. But he's a D, the host is a D, man. Don't pick up that man. And all that kind of thing. Don't deliver us to say, man. She's a D. All that kind of nonsense going on. And we have to stop it.
Right.
Because this is not the Barbados that we became proud of. We have to set better examples than that and let the politicians do the politicians' work, and every citizen do his duty to help to raise up and to make his country better. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Ellis. I felt the word vision is not only the name of a saucepan, but the key points to note for today's leader. Now, as I look at the large number of persons appointed to serve, I feel very happy that you have paired youth with age in terms of the first-timers. It gives them an opportunity to learn as they go along how to deal with the civil servants and get their feet into what they're doing so that as time goes, they can go it alone. So that was a good point in terms of how the cabinet is made up. Now, let's say this is our Barbados, so I feel that we need now to look as if we've turned a leaf, spell out to the civil servants what is expected of them to bring about efficiency of service. Because I went to the immigration today, I went online, I booked, and I felt happy that I was going for 10 o'clock and I'll get away. I left at 3. I was annoyed because if we want to have efficiency of service and we are going the computer way, I don't think that it will take that long. If we are into computers and we have lots of minds who are high-tech and so on, I think that the ministries can hook themselves up so that if we have documents somewhere, you don't have to come back 6 and 7 times and so on, so that if efficiency will now be our key, we have to get everything right. And for us as a country, we need from here on to not say this body and the next body. If you live in a community and there is a lot of garbage, beg around for some cans, because in the long run, the people who you are asking may not live in that area. It's you, and you try to make your community as best as you can, and maybe the other people who are there to serve will lend the assistance to make it perfect. That is my piece for today. In fact, one other thing, those people who sang and got those the promise of those houses and wondering what will happen thereafter, do have a good day.
Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
You know, once you are well known on this call-in program, you have to deal with some brickbats from time to time. The caller, better known as Arthur, somebody here says that for years you staunchly supported the policies of the DLP, but now you're in denial mode before the clock crows 3 times. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning to you.
Welcome.
Good morning to you. Oh, my congratulations to the new government. And I hope that the results of the elections be an example for the upcoming politicians to be, right? See what the people of Barbados mean and what they intend to do in the future. We're dealing with a young population, and the older ones don't think like the younger ones, right? My question is why you have to wait so long in the line? People can get frustrated and drop out. I tend to think in the age of technology, right, there should be some ways that means that we can utilize these skills. The same way you can file your taxes online, you should be able to put in your ID number, right, and the necessary password and get on with your order business, right? And clicks and it gone off to electoral department or whoever is intended to receive the vote, right? And people should be able to go into the library and vote as well. This is my foresight and vision, right? And my concern is, why did those special boxes stay so long to get to the appropriate stations, right, for counting? And the next thing is, I would like to see the disabled people. There's some representative in parliament for someone to represent the people with disabilities, and so that their voice can be heard. We not only want spaces in a car park and stuff like that. We have brains too, and we can function as well, and we have ideas. And I like to see somebody representing the disabled community in Barbados, don't you?
I thought one of the positive aspects of the last session of Parliament was the fact that the president of the Senate turned out to be somebody who was visually impaired, and that was Kerry Ann Ifill. I always thought that that was a great move by the Democratic Labour Party administration. I think she began as the deputy, and when the then president died, she was made president of the Senate. I think there's merit in saying that there's a need to make sure that the disabled community in Barbados is indeed represented in the Senate. They should have a place because, you know, we have to recognize that those people need to have a voice, and that voice cannot begin and end in the Senate. I think that some of the reforms which I've heard come from Prime Minister Motley in terms of select committees and that sort of thing, they can also, other people can be drafted into that process, because we all recognize that Barbados needs to do more in giving voice to people in that community. So I agree with you 100%. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Well, I don't understand what it is that these people, they got some people here calling for blood. They want me to call out all of the people whom they have heard over the years as staunch supporters of the Democratic Labour Party so that they can get a chance to hear them. According to one person here, they want to hear somebody know that they are wounded. Now, good grief, this isn't the time to do that. I mean, as long as the person can hold up to, you know, the scrutiny and that sort of thing, but don't call a person just because you want to hear them sounding wounded. That's not going to make sense. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, sir. And you?
I'm fine.
Yeah. Mr. Hellis, do you believe in coincidences?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, let me give you a bit of coincidence, because I had called the station last year, January, the second week in January. And I was going to give a bit of information, right? But the moderator at that time, who was Mr. Dennis Johnson, he didn't allow me. I don't know if the phone dropped out or I got cut off. I don't know what happened. But looking back at the 2013 election, right, the only reason that Mayor Motley did not win at that time is because of one person and one person only. And you cannot be a part of a team and try to bring down your teammate. You need to be uplifting your teammate. And that is what Mayor Motley have been doing consistently throughout the election, as we all see. Right? Now, this could have all been avoided, because I was going to say that if the DLP do not change their strategy and run with the things that they said they're going to do, at which, as we, the platform that they said they were going to run on, which was the moral platform of Christianity and what's not, which they didn't. Now, I've called here and I've spoken.
You thought that they should have run on this moral platform?
I mean, they should have stick with that instead of calling out the woman on stage. Because I've spoken to you with that. I told you I live right in the area of the stadium where they had their meeting. Right, when they were back talking Mayor Motley about her age and
But theirs was a campaign, right, that helped to promote Ms. Motley. I think that if you put photographs of your opponent up on your own stage and that sort of thing, and you keep calling their name all the time, what do you think you're going to end up doing? You know? The campaign backfired.
Exactly. So if you start wrong, you're going to finish wrong, right? But they say you should never kick a man when he's down, right? And I hope Mr. Steve Blackett look back at this and realize his mistake, because as I've said before, and I've been telling people this from last year, the election was going to be a landslide in favor of the BLP. And they were asking me, how do I know that? I mean, it is just something that you know, because, as I said, in 2013, I saw something in Mayor Motley that nobody else had seen before, and she reminded me of somebody, which I actually dubbed her the Iron Lady on the day after the vote has passed through. And the Iron Lady reference to Margaret Thatcher, I think that's her name was, right? Right. So